The history of Macedonia. Alexander the Great. Alexander besieges Halicarnassus. Now, unwilling to challenge the enemy at sea, Alexander sent Philotas with 3 regiments of infantry and cavalry to harass the Persian camp. In an illustration of the vulnerability of ancient fleets without secure bases on shore, the Persians were soon deprived of food and water and sailed away to the island of Samos. Once there, the Persian commanders decided on one last aggressive act, heading back to Miletus in hope that this time the Greek fleet serving with Alexander would come out and fight. This was partly in the hope of a battle, but also because they heard that most of the crews in Alexander's fleet had themselves gone ashore to forage. 5 galleys slipped into the sea between Lade and the harbor to find out the truth and burn the Greek ships if they were undefended. The attackers were spotted and sufficient crewmen scraped together to put 10 triremes to sea, chasing the Persians away and capturing one vessel. Soon after, Alexander decided to send ships of his own fleet back to their homes, keeping only some 20 vessels, mainly as transports. Among these was an Athenian squadron. Whether as a complement to the fame as a city and naval power, or as hostages, or indeed as both. In the short term, this made sense. While they were with him, sailors had to be paid and fed, and sometimes always difficult, especially when winter approaches. And in spite of the gains he had made in the last months, the available food and money was indeed limited. They could not face the stronger Persian fleet and needed to be protected, lest the next enemy attack prove more successful. On balance, the fleet as it stood cost more than it was worth to him, or at least more than he could readily afford. Instead of beating the Persians at sea, he said that he would capture all the remaining harbors and overcome the ships from dry land. Following the coast southward, he set about this task, capturing a number of small cities, until he came to Halicarnassus, the capital of Caria. Pixodarus, the dynast who had so recently sought marriage alliances with Macedonia and failed after Alexander's intervention, had by this time died and was replaced by a Persian satrap. The latter married the Carian ruler's daughter, who had earlier been offered as a bride to Philip's sons. Pixodarus was one of the 5 siblings, children of Hecatonomus. The others had all ruled before him, with his 2 older brothers marrying and ruling with his 2 sisters. Most recently, Ada was ruled with her brother and husband, Idraeus, and then held power alone for 4 years after he died in 344 BCE. This ended when she was supplanted by Pixodarus, but Ada escaped and held out in the stronghold of Olinda. She outlived him and was still holding out when Alexander arrived. Middle-aged and childless, Ada went to the young king asking for a reinstatement and promising her support. Alexander not only agreed, but accepted adoption, addressing Ada as his mother and letting her call him son. Plutarch says that she made a great display of affection, sending him treats and other presents as if to a child. This was the occasion when he said that he was used to the frugal life taught by his tutor, Leonidas. The alliance with Ada put a dignified front on her submission and was a practical piece of politics, from Alexander's point of view anyway. An attempt to rush Halicarnassus failed, and Alexander then had to wait for heavy siege equipment to be brought down the coast. The convoy avoided the attentions of the Persian fleet, but now that his navy was disbanded, Alexander could not prevent the resupply of the city by sea. This, combined with a very strong natural and man-made defenses, aided the vigorous defense led by Memnon and a number of other bold leaders, including 2 experienced Athenian mercenary generals. Early on, Alexander took a force away in hope of capturing nearby Miletus, but failed. In the meantime, the siege of Halicarnassus ground on, the defenders sallying out to destroy the siege engines. One evening, drunken posturing by a couple of men from Perdiccas's battalion escalated into a major fight. As more and more soldiers joined in a spontaneous attack on the walls, at the end of which Alexander had to be asked to recover his dead, thus admitting defeat for the first time. Yet the reverse did not change the balance of power. The Macedonians persisted, and there was more heavy fighting, in the course of which one of the Athenian generals was killed. Eventually the defenders retreated into the inner citadels. These were even harder to attack, and as the campaigning season was over, Alexander left mainly a mercenary force to complete the siege and divided the remainder of his army into detachments so that it was easier to resupply them or supply them over the winter. the siege of Halicarnassus was incomplete, but did little to tarnish the achievements of his first campaign in Asia. Alexander now controlled the Aegean coast and a lot of territory inland. Overall, the balance of resources between him and Darius had not fundamentally shifted, but Alexander had won enough to keep funding and supplying the war. With the theater of operations still relatively close to home, he sent all of his soldiers who were recently married back to their wives in Macedonia for the winter. This was a mark of care for his men's welfare, much like his concern for the wounded, so it was good for morale. He also stated that he wanted them to sire the next generation of soldiers, which was in contrast to his own disinterest in becoming a father for the moment. More immediately, the officers who led the leave party were ordered to make new levies of recruits and bring them back with them when they returned in time for the start of operations next year. Alexander had made a good start to his war, but it was a long way from victory, and it was clear this would not be an easy achievement. He could still lose everything in a single day. So the next thing that we're going to do, we'll be looking at Alexander taking his little side trip to Gordias to deal with the Gordian Knot.
Now the sources for this, The Politics by Aristotle, The Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and The Lives by Plutarch, Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy, History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond, In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia.
Some additional sources for the sections on Alexander rules would include, of course, Arians, The Campaigns of Alexander, In the Footsteps of Alexander the Great by Michael Wood, The Wars of Alexander the Great by Haeckel, and The Story of Alexander's Empire by Mahaffey.
So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.